Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the largest segment of society, to those who are open to the realization that all of the world's religious, political, economic, media, and military institutions are corrupt and counterproductive. I'm Yada. Our number, if you'd like to join us anytime over the next 2 hours, toll-free, 877-300-7645. You may have heard it, but Ann Sweden, the moron that donned what I shared yesterday was a SS-type helmet from the Nazi period in Germany, was killed for wielding a knife. And he targeted a specific school because it was filled with Muslims. And he was a racist. It is troubling to me for a lot of reasons. One is that it's just a matter of time before the website Prophet of Doom is used as a alibi, a justification for one of these psychopaths. And I have 100 news vans sitting out in front of my doorstep. Even though I have said it 1,000 times, probably 10,000 times, I've written it 1,000 times, perhaps 10,000 times, that the only proper response to a doctrine that is deadly, an institution that is destructive, is to use your mind and your mouth. It is important to use your eyes to examine the evidence, process that evidence in your mind, and then stand up, have the courage, the morality, the sensibility, the good judgment, the courage to stand up and speak out against these horrible doctrines that motivate people to do terrible things. And Islam is one of those terrible doctrines. It's the most murderous, most terror-prone, terror-inciting dogma ever conceived by humankind. But the answer is never, ever, under any circumstances, to pick up a gun, to pick up a stick, to pick up a club, to pick up a knife, and go off and kill people. Now, part of the problem, and we have Kirk with us, part of the problem, Kirk, is that the socialist secular humanists have acted in a suicidal way throughout Europe. And this particular school, when you look at pictures of it, all of the women were in headscarves. So his issue was with Islam. And they have brought in the Muslims by the millions. A disproportionate number of them do not work. So those that do work are being forced to pay for those who hate them and who do not work, who have made no contribution to the society. And those who have allegiance to a doctrine that is more hateful of them than they are hateful toward that doctrine. And so when you have a society that is dumbed down, that has no morality, that is under the auspices of political correctness, and they see everything that they've ever held to be valuable disintegrate before their eyes, when they see that they're powerless to stop the degradation, they lash out in horrible ways. And Kirk, it's just a matter of time before I find myself scandalized for this, even though all I have provided is information, accurate and truthful information that people can use to make a informed and enlightened decision, and then have encouraged them to use their words to express their disgust for the religion, as well as for all of the other maniacal institutions out there. No, Christianity is almost as bad. The United States government may be worse.
You're hard to defend it.
Ben, you know what's going to be interesting, Kirk, is when that happens, and it's going to happen. Truth will not be an alibi. No one will care to say that everything that was written in Prophet of Doom is based on the Quran and Hadith, and it is the most comprehensive, the best documented, the most chronological, the most contextual presentation of what is known about Muhammad and the and his Quran ever written. It has never been refuted.
No, you have a scholar of probably as knowledgeable, if not more knowledgeable, only because of his upbringing and where he was born every Friday. And if anybody should be able to pick it apart, it would be him.
Yeah, he thinks it's the most important book ever written. So, this is where we find ourselves, and it is extremely sad. That's why when this fellow IQ, the one you're referencing back about 6 months ago, when the anti-Islamic movement began to surge in Europe, and he says, you know, this may be the hope that people are finally saying no to the scourge of Islam. Mm-hmm. And I said, no, I've read their commentary, their speeches, and they're not opposed to Islam because they understand Islam. Their opposition to Islam is their same as their opposition to Jews. They're racist. And that's not going to prevail. There's no depth to it, no character to it, no mentality behind it. And they will be labeled kooks because most of them are, and they will be sidelined, and it will just lay the seeds for instigating violence. And that's precisely what's happened. But that was when there was a trickle of Muslims into Europe. Now there's not a trickle. It's a flood.
Well, they're truly on opposite sides of the street. I mean,
we're going to see chaos.
You know, what the goals are for each group.
Right. It's going to see chaos. And the answer will be proclaimed by everyone empowered is to be tolerant, to make it illegal to speak out against a religion, particularly Islam, to label hate speech a crime. You know, there's the FBI is announced that it is now conducting an investigation. It's opened a hate crime investigation into an attack on a Muslim woman, and she really wasn't attacked. Somebody did two things to her. So she's not attacked. She's saying, I'm stupid. I'm part of a terrorist institution by wearing her headscarf. So she's identifying herself as being associated with the most vile, the most terrorist-oriented, the most deadly and destructive doctrine ever conceived by mankind. And a man shouted slogans at her, which the FBI are now saying are racist, but are probably nothing more than condemnations of the religion that she was expressing. And that he tried to take her headscarf off. And that is a crime that the FBI has opened a hate crime investigation.
Well, that seems like a little overreaction, but...
Welcome to the United States, circa 2015. Talking about the wolf guarding the hen house. Mm-hmm. DEA agents, drug enforcement, agency. They gave bonuses, rewards, extra vacation time to agents who not only participated in sex parties with prostitutes, but funded their indulgences with federal funds and did so as an organization. I like them apples.
I don't know what to say to that. I mean, that's just, at what point, you know?
You know, and I'm not even sure it's better elsewhere. You know, there was an announcement by the Communist Party yesterday of China. And it put out a proclamation and said that that if you want to be a member of the Communist Party, I think there's 80 million of them in China that are members of the Communist Party, that if you want to continue to be a member of the Communist Party, you cannot belong to a golf club. You can't play golf. You can't belong to a gym. You can't walk into a gym. You cannot use a gym. You cannot play cards. You cannot go to a card room. You can't belong to any kind of a dinner club. You can't have any kind of a consumer credit card. You cannot entertain at any private club. You can't even be seen in public purchasing or eating a moon pie. Then it used to say that you couldn't commit adultery, that if you committed adultery, you're banned from the party. But so many communists have committed adultery that they don't say that anymore. They say now that you can't engage in sexual conduct that has a negative implication.
We're all going mad. I don't know what...
It is. It's a world gone mad, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Do you hear the new draft proposal, speaking of a world gone mad, that was presented by a number of Islamic countries? Here are the sponsors of the of this amendment to the United Nations. Algeria. Egypt, the country that we support. If it wasn't for Americans' weapons given to the military junta that provides the absolute ironclad dictatorship over Egypt, where the Christians are being annihilated, they wouldn't exist. Kuwait, a country that only exists because the United States bailed them out. They were under the control of Saddam Hussein. We bailed them out and gave them their fiefdom back. Morocco. Tunisia. Remember that country that's supposed to be the first beneficiary of the Arab Spring? Well, it became the property of the most fundamentalist Islamic party. And the United Arab Emirates, the place that that has all of the go-to hotels and resorts now, built with OPEC ooze, that draw people in to spend their money and their time in the Islamic paradise. Well, they sponsored a bill that would declare the western wall of the Temple Mount part of the Aqsa Mosque complex. City of the United Nations, senior United Nations officials are responding to a proposal by some Arab states. I just listed the states for you. They're not Arab states because Morocco and Tunisia and Egypt are not Arab countries. I mean, why is it that we can't understand the differentiation between race and religion? It's as if they're being purposefully mixed up for the purpose of making it such that if you speak out against the religion, you're labeled a racist, even though the racial labels attributed to these countries and to their motivations is the problem. That's nonsense. Kirk, I think we've entered a period where truth has been destroyed by political correctness.
Well, when did lies become okay?
Because of political correctness. Political correctness, the moral code of socialist secular humanism, sponsors lies, and that the lie is what is considered true. The lie replaces the truth. And it's almost universal with it. Evidence and reason do not matter. What matters is the agenda. What matters is the label. What matters is the doctrine. What matters is control. What matters is a total censorship of individuals. Truth is irrelevant. In fact, truth most always is worse than just irrelevant and inconsequential. Truth is the enemy. Think about it. In political correctness, truth is the avowed foe. Well, here in the United Nations, the some Muslim countries want to classify the Western Wall, one of the holiest sites in Judaism. You know, it's a holy site in Judaism. It's not a holy site from Yahweh's perspective, the Temple Mount is set apart. The temple is set apart. The temple was destroyed by the Romans, the ultimate beast in Daniel.
Right.
But Jerusalem is Yahweh's favorite place on earth, and they wanted to set it apart as part of the Aqsa Mosque complex. And it's all as a denunciation against Israel. The proposal is contained in a draft resolution to the Executive Board of UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization. Can you imagine countries that America is responsible for their very existence? And if it's not America, then it's Britain. Between Britain and America, all of these countries today, you know, I can't say Tunisia and Morocco and Algeria exist because of America or Great Britain, but most of them do because of the battles during World War II and the deals that the British made once we came to Britain's aid in fighting the Nazis in Northern Africa.
Northern Africa, yeah.
Yeah, in World War II, and of course then in World War I in the battles against the Ottoman Turks when the British prevailed against the Ottoman Turks with the help of the Saud warlords and Wahhab, the religious cleric.
Right.
And so here we are, now that these countries, which are mostly fiefdoms, are telling the United Nations that you need to take the Western Wall away from those dreaded Jews. Damn the fact that Jerusalem is their city and that we have no historical claim to it. Damn the fact that the Temple Mount is only valid in the context of the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms. Damn the fact that Allah is the adversary. Damn the fact that Muhammad and Islam have no claim to the place. Damn the fact that even the whole purpose of that Dome of the Rock and the Al-Aqsa Mosque is expressly because it affirms that Muhammad was a delusional liar. And yet they want it to be granted to them.
So why does no one claim that to be racist?
Yeah, really. Why don't they? Because it is being perpetrated not by a race but by a religion against a race. Exactly. The United Nations says the draft, which is being discussed by UNESCO's executive board, made up from envoys of 58 countries, would be considered. And it was currently under negotiation. Rather than saying, are you stark raven mad?
Yeah, well,
are you completely nuts?
Table?
What racist kind of drivel is this? The United Nations doesn't exist to sponsor stupidity. This is vile. You ought to lose your charter. You ought to lose your participation in the United Nations for presenting such drivel. Go away. No, we're negotiating. And Kirk, yeah. Speaking of just stupidity, did you hear the story about the Wesleyan at Wesleyan University, the newspaper?
No.
Yeah, there was an editorial, not even written by the staff of the newspaper, but an editorial in the newspaper criticizing Black Lives Matter. They said that, you know, the overall goals of Black Lives Matter is fine, but their rhetoric is often not fine, and that really it's all lives matter, and we need to find a balance between the police and policing and all communities. And so it wrote really a pretty balanced article as a editorial, and the school decided to cut the funding of the newspaper. And say that will not be tolerated, and what will be tolerated is only black authors writing articles and dominating the next issue of the paper on why Black Lives Matter, in favor of Black Lives Matter. And then they talk about it as we have to show that we're inclusive. We have to show that we're tolerant. That's why we're doing it. So they're intolerant. Of even intelligent criticism, which is truthful, and they claim that they're doing so, they're being intolerant in the name of, or they claim they're being tolerant in the name of in the name of intolerance.
Hey, can I say something? This is kind of all disturbing me today.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I've read most all your books for the last 8 years. I've scrutinized them probably more than anybody that I'm aware of, only because out of fun almost, because I enjoyed it so much. Analyzed it, translated by the Greek. I mean, on and on and on and on.
Yeah, you started doing the translation.
Right down to the letters. You know,
right. Yeah, you started it because you sensed that what you were hearing was as God ought to be.
Yeah.
And so you sensed that there was truth here, but sensing it wasn't enough, you'd been part of religion and lied to your whole life, so you said, you know, maybe this is just too good to be true. So you began to translate it for the express purpose of just validating what was being, what you're reading, correct?
Exactly.
Yeah. And then after you did that for a while, you began translating because, oh my gosh, it's fun. It's rewarding.
And it takes you even more places. There's even more depth and more depth.
Yeah.
It's like peeling back another layer, another layer.
Yeah, that was kind of the whole purpose of an intro to God. That first volume of an intro to God called The Word was to provide a toolbox and say, all right, here's the Hebrew stems, here's the Hebrew conjugations, here's the Hebrew moods, here's the Hebrew letters and which each of these shapes convey. Now let's go through the topics that are most important to Yahweh and let's use these tools together. So that by the time you're through that, then you are ready to rock and roll and do it on your own.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've never not responded, and there's always been an open debate on both your programs, and you know you've never advocated violence for anything. You've always said let's get our facts right, just tell the truth, and let the truth carry the load.
Yeah.
But where the words go.
Mm-hmm.
If I were to say you're probably the most outspoken person on the airwaves in any type of media where you're against killing, lying, stealing, rape, murder. And I can tell you what, if you can find me one military leader, one government official, one major religious leader, and one global business leader that's against all those things, I'll tip my hat to him because I can't find it.
Yeah.
Every one of them will throw these things under the bus for their own greed or their own power and stuff. So if that's a crime, put me in a criminal cast too, because this is just too absurd to be in this world. I mean,
neither of us ever speak out against homosexuality. We say that you can do whatever you want. You, it's your own volition. Make your own choice. I speak out against the promotion of homosexuality as normal and as beneficial. We don't speak out against any race under any circumstances ever.
Don't take the little guy. Would be right fine. Don't take your little children down these road paths. If you want to go down there, go on alone.
Yes.
Do your thing. Get out of the way.
Right.
But I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just telling you what God said.
Right. We never tell people to follow us. We never tell people that we're worthy of following. We never say that you ought to believe what we're saying. Never.
Let's say we can prove what God said.
Right.
Let God prove it.
Yeah. Don't even have an agenda.
No. I don't.
Don't take a dime for anything that we do. Don't ask people for any money. Don't accept any money.
No.
Simply say, we have taken the time to examine what God, whose name is Yahweh, actually said, and we found that what he has told us is in complete and irreconcilable conflict with our politics and with our religion and with our society at large, and that is not only is he opposed to human institutions, that what he's offering is the antithesis of what religion is suggesting. All he wants is a family. And he wants to lift us up. He doesn't want us to lift him up.
But the disturbing thing is when I was in college and I was taking against degree in education, we had classes and it wasn't called social secular humanism, but it was indeed that's what it was.
Yeah.
In the form of philosophies of education.
Right.
But we all took those classes seriously. We all took those classes and we'd go out in the hall afterwards, and back in those days we smoked and we sit out there and we say, this is stupid. Who the?
Yes. This is.
Who could buy this? I mean, but we have to take it for a course. I mean, it was mandatory. You have to take it.
Well, it's beyond that today. If you're going to be a teacher, it's mandatory that you promote socialist secular humanism. It's mandatory that you embrace political correctness.
Yeah.
It's mandatory that you indoctrinate your students rather than educate them. Yeah. Mandatory. You will lose your job. You will be ostracized if you take any position that isn't part of that indoctrination scheme, which is why we have a world that's this upside down. And Kirk, I don't know how we can reach a world this lost. I'm really quite convinced that if Yahweh himself were to broadcast his testimony in his own voice, speaking to everyone in Hebrew, but doing the translation in our brain so that we could process what was being said, that I'm quite convinced that if he, as brilliant as the sun, and with a booming voice that everyone on the planet could hear, were to present his own case in his own words, in his own voice, that 99% of the world would reject him.
You're probably right. Certainly the vast majority. That's a terrible thing to say, but certainly the
vast
majority. They prove it to me every day that my eyes have been open even more. I mean, I was never stupid about a lot of things in my life because I got the chance to travel different parts of the world with my folks and live in different countries and see the world through different eyes than the normal American apple pie baseball.
Yeah. You know, it profoundly changed me. I've been in 150 countries, and it's profoundly eye-opening how different your perspective is of America when you travel.
But I thought we had something going on, but it's deteriorated to the point that if we ever had anything, it's certainly, it ain't there now.
We are the antithesis of we are the enemies that we used to describe when we were in school in the 60s and 70s as America would depict the military states of Russia and China and as we would talk about prison states and the like and the lack of freedoms and socialism and all of those kinds of we've become what we once despised.
How tragic.
I mean, how tragic. I almost feel like we're crying out in a vacuum.
Yeah.
And that the vacuum we're crying out in is the void between people's ears. I once said to Kirk on this program that I think I figured out the affinity Americans have for zombie movies. You know, the zombie is somebody that's heartless, that just marches on. They're living dead with no capacity to think. That just are like lemmings, all programmed, indoctrinated to do, you know, something that is destructive, and they're all doing it together. But no one is thinking. No one can respond. I think that Americans are love zombie movies because to a large degree they become zombies.
Absolutely. This morning, I don't want to get off your track. And don't forgive me,
please.
Intruding, but you know, last night I read your commentary on Matanyah 24:36, you know, the last days.
Yes.
The last, no one knows the hour.
But, right.
And I'd read it many times before, but I hadn't read it recently, so I read it in depth last night. And then this morning, I got up quite early, and I got on commentaries, and I read, my God, 20 commentaries of English Bibles, and I don't know what they said about that verse, and every one of them quoted pretty much the King James verbatim.
Yeah.
And so that means either you're crazy, But your state, I mean, hopefully Monday you can argue that, and you say, if I'm crazy, then call me crazy, because this is logical beyond and historical.
Yeah.
But none of them went there where you went. None of them thought about it. None of them put this in context of the person who was talking and who he was at the time he was saying it.
Yeah.
You know, he everything they supposedly believe about him would contradict their interpretation, their rewriting of what he said.
Yeah, what you're saying is, in essence, and I hope Scott can take us through the break so we can continue on here, that that the statement, no one knows the day or the hour, only the Father, not even the Son. And it's not even the Son is in one of the two presentations of that. And the first thing you have to do is to say, if that is an accurate presentation of what he actually said, then you want to throw out the whole thing. Then he's not credible. Then he cannot have the set-apart spirit on him, that he cannot be even a manifestation, even a diminished manifestation of Yahweh. That the entire story in the Torah, Prophets, and Psalms, as well as the Christian New Testament, the whole story is a fraud if he doesn't know.
Right.
Okay? Single most important day in human history. If he doesn't know that date, when he's provided a mountain of evidence to tell us exactly when that date is,
mm-hmm.
then it's rubbish. You just need to throw away the whole thing. So what are your options? Now that you know and you've got to be reasonable about it, what are your options? And the most obvious is what Mills, I believe was his name,
mm-hmm.
a scholar at the time.
Cambridge.
Mills deduced, which is that while he was not speaking Greek, a Greek verb is now used to convey what he said. And the Greek verb was written in the present tense, and it was the weakest form of knowing. In fact, it's almost I haven't even formed an opinion on this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Oida. And I'm going this from memory because this is so...
I don't have it in front of me, but yes.
And what he said was, all he said is in the... because Mills figured it out. I mean, he did the same thing we did. He put together the pieces. It's obvious when he's coming back. And it's obvious that Yahusha had to know when he was coming back. And he even told us how he was coming back, his brilliant light. He even told us the exact mountain that he was going to come back on. And he told us the whole context of human history that was going to prevail, including the return of Yisrael and all these seven events that were going to materialize as birth pangs right before his return. Speaking of birth pangs, the megaseismos, the great
star from the sky.
But the great megaseismos, which is the turning, the rapid movement that he spoke of, which also includes hurricanes. The largest hurricane ever recorded by humankind is going to hit the west coast of Mexico later today. That he provides all of this, and then all of a sudden says, "Oh, I don't know the time." So your options are the first that is that the whole thing's trash. The second option is that he was using the Hebrew does not have a present tense, so the Mills' argument only works in the Greek.
Mm-hmm.
But that's really all anybody as a scholar knows, because there's so few Hebrew scholars. Particularly Hebrew scholars that would be studying what Yahusha is recorded having said. But why did it just mean that? All that means is that you 12 guys that I'm talking to,
you're not aware.
Right at this very moment, aren't aware. That's all it means. And they weren't aware. They didn't even know why he was going to become the Passover lamb. They hadn't even figured that out yet. They hadn't figured out matzah. They hadn't figured out Bikurim. They didn't even figure out Bikurim when he was the living example of Bikurim.
They didn't know the temple that he was talking about himself.
Right.
He's the temple with the spirit in him.
So he's affirming what we recognize. They were clueless. They really were clueless. They had spent 3 years with him, and they still didn't understand. And that's why I say that, you know, if God himself in his own voice were to articulate his whole plan to humanity right now, the vast preponderance would not understand. These 12 guys didn't understand. That's all they said. So you could just leave it at that. you could also come to the conclusion that what he was talking about in the day that no one knows is Teruah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's true. Well, we know that because they asked him about the harvest, when he's going to return for his family. And the answer for that is Teruah. That's when he's returning for his family. It's not when he's returning to earth.
Yes.
That's Yom Kippurim. Right. So, you know, when he says the day that no one knows, if he actually said those words, then he is he's poking fun at Judaism, because Judaism changed Yom Kippurim, the Day of Trumpets, Teruah, to the first of the year, Rosh Hashanah, and called it the day no one knows, because they had this whole myth that it was the day that Satan would go accuse everyone of being bad.
Yeah.
And so he was making a mockery, and he says, you know, that's the day that I'm coming for my children.
Yeah,
and you can leave it at that.
Sure.
But the fact of the matter is that Yosha told us how to interpret, how to translate his statement. He says, I have told you this before.
Yeah.
And then he had never said anything about his return, about coming back as a brilliant light, correct? There's no record of him doing that before. So when he says, I've told you this before, then you've got to look at, well, where in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms did he say this? And it happens to be in Zechariah 14. And all you got to do is read Zechariah 14 and then read the next thing out of his mouth, which he says, this is the one and only day that's known to the Father, that he's going to return. And you realize all the Greek did is they took the same words, they just reordered them to create a lie out of something that's profoundly true, that he's saying that I'm going to come on the one essential day, which is Yom Kippurim.
So tell me, why is it that Christianity seems to be the only religion that continually rewrites the words of its alleged founder?
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Buddha doesn't. Muhammad says, he says, "Yeah, I'm this, and this is what I am."
Yeah, and that was, by the way, was the fourth way to deal with the statement, which is to recognize that the differences between the oldest, between the Textus Receptus, which was the basis of really Christianity, particularly not all Christianity, but Protestant Christianity was based on the Textus Receptus, but the difference between Textus Receptus and just 12th century manuscripts of the Christian New Testament, Mills found 20,000 variations. Now, 20,000 variations in a 180-word document, that's a big deal, particularly when you add the translation errors to it.
And remember, he only had a few Greek documents to go by to do it.
That is correct.
It was,
and they were 12th century.
Mm-hmm.
Now we have 69 pre-Constantine documents from the late 1st, throughout the 2nd, 3rd, and early 4th centuries, we have 69 of them that we can use. And the known discrepancies in this 180-page text is over 200,000. And so you can just chalk the whole thing up for the early Christian institution, and particularly the scribes in Alexandria, had an agenda. And their agenda was to adapt the text of their alleged God so that it suited their religious purposes. And so you can't trust anything that's written in Greek because it was so hugely altered. That's why, you know, those people, the morons in Christianity that hold up their Bible and say, this is the inerrant word of God. And you say, which version of it? Which one of those 200,000 variants is the accurate one? Ob-a-dub-a-dub-a-dub.
Yeah, well, I never had to quite encounter that. But
yeah, how could you have a Jesus Christ when there was no Christ and there was no Jesus?
Mm-hmm.
How can you have a Lord when the Lord is Satan, according to Yahweh?
Yeah.
How can you have Christmas and Easter that come out of this when those are pagan holidays? How can you have Sunday worship when Yahweh sponsors the Shabbat? How you can you have a Trinity when there is no Trinity in the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, only in Babylonian religion? How can you have your Jesus Christ establishing a new religion when he said, don't think I came to do that. I didn't. I came to affirm the Torah, and yet you've got half of your Christian New Testament that's at war with the Torah, that disgraces, calls the Torah a disgrace, says it can't save you. And yet the so-called founder of your religion says every aspect of Torah is in full effect, right down to the shapes of the letters themselves that comprise the words of the Torah. And so how big a moron do you have to be a Christian? I'm sorry.
Well, that was a pretty big one.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I had to be. There's a reason they call it.
When I hear the truth, I say, wait a minute, time out.
You know, there's a reason they call it faith, not knowing.
Yeah.
The reason it's a belief system as opposed to a knowledge system. If you know, you won't believe. That's why it's make-believe.
That's why Disney resonates so well with people.
Yeah. Why video games resonate with people. The fanciful world of a video game.
Mm-hmm.
First-person shooters, civilizations. You know, create your own world. This idiot in Sweden that took out the knife to kill the Muslims wearing the SS garb. And the mask, of course. He was lost in a world of video games. Most of the mass murdering shooters, there's a lot of young people that can play video games and not get lost in them. And particularly the ones that are interactive, like, you know, you're playing a Madden football, say, with your buddy. But there is a significant number of people that play these things and get lost in them because they're in an imaginary world. And it's an imaginary world that's not much different than the imaginary world of politics and religion, militarism, patriotism. It's affecting all of us.